Okay, let's fire up here. A little sharing tonight. So this is kind of a neat thing. This Covey, I have a client named Covey. His first name's not Stephen, but wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Powerful Lessons in Personal Change. And most people do not listen with intent to understand. They listen with intent to reply. And I think to myself, yeah, guilty of that, been many times. And when you're talking to somebody, you know, same thing. You know, it's always that where you're telling somebody and you're like, where's the but coming in? Because you know there's a but, you know, and so that's it. So this is coming from him for things to do. So as we're communicating, knowing who you're speaking to and what the intent is. If you're entertaining, different kind of format. If you're teaching, different kind of format. Okay, if you're just conversing socially, it's different. So whenever you're communicating to try to get something across to somebody, knowing what the message is and the sender being you and how to do it. Because the whole objective is to get that other person to listen and conform or change. That's the whole thing. And so to be able to gear it, I used to think, you know, if you have a canned approach, all right, you have one of these three options. You use one of those. With this person, they're young, I'll use the young approach. With this person, they're a little bit older, I'll use it. And it doesn't work that way because Yahweh's not confined to this thing or that. And so, all right, Yahweh, tell me what to do. But always keep in mind as you're communicating, the goal is, what is the purpose? Am I educating, entertaining, just conversing, teaching? And what do I want the person to glean from this? And then you approach the message. And you can't just have one for all because it doesn't always work that way. All right, so as we go on, this was kind of a neat thing that as I was preparing the teaching. These two words have the exact same letters. Listen and silent. I used to play that jumble. Uh-oh, I knew it. It's all right. I thought that was Donna. But it's the same thing. So as you're looking at that, listen and silent, okay? And there's different meanings for listen versus hear, okay? When somebody says, do you hear? Are you listening? Two different things, okay? How many times do you keep speaking the same thing but isn't being heard? And I always think about that with my parents. You know, it kind of made me laugh, you know, when all of a sudden you say something that your parents have said. Do you think I'm just saying that for my own benefit? You know, of course, I'd be a little smart aleck and be like going, what was that? I wasn't paying attention. What were you saying? You know, of course, that didn't normally end very well, but that's the same thing. Is you think about this through the history of mankind as you go through the Old Testament. This is a recurring problem. Well, because we're in the New Testament, it's all done. Doesn't happen anymore, right? No, it's absolutely, it doesn't change. People speak, people are still wicked, people still fall prey to the adversary, and so by virtue of that, we have to control things. It is impossible, mine's on the side, but that's because there's motion on the front door. Let me just, yeah, I'm sorry here guys, I'm going to just put it all the way off. There we go. Okay, so, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. And that is correct. So if you have somebody that is hard-hearted or does not want to learn, doesn't make a difference. Does not make a difference. You're not going to break through to them. It's the same way you think when Christ is on the cross and they're challenging him to show a miracle. They couldn't care less. Meant nothing. Meant absolutely nothing. And so as we're approaching this, you'll get wisdom. You'll get wisdom to do this. And there will be times that it may be a pastor you're talking to who seems very absorbent. I'll take this all in. And they're the exact wrong person versus somebody else who you wouldn't think would take it. And yet they're hungry for it. They're feeding it. So we can't let our vision steal away what Yahweh has in store. So when we walk by faith, not by sight. So, ever hear the phrase, it's easier to teach someone something new than to unlearn those that have been taught wrong. And I think about that, especially in Christianity. Oh my gosh. You have somebody, and you know, I used to think to myself, years ago, well, this person went through seminary. And I'm like going, ugh. Okay, that's not a resume filler. Okay, it's just not. When you're taught something wrong, a lot of times it's harder to undo it, and it's going to take somebody with a malleable heart in order to be able to massage that, to get somebody that comes around. And there will be those people, and then there's going to be other people. I think about that with my mom. My mom does not have a malleable heart. I think for her to reject everything that she's grown up with for the last 50 plus years would be overwhelming to her. And so I talk to her about stuff, but she's going to stay within her same boundaries. And I'm like going, okay, I know where you are, and so be it, but that's it. So to unlearn something is the same thing as impossible for somebody to think they know it. If somebody thinks they know it, it's very delicate how you're going to present it. And a good way of presenting it is to challenge them to where they look things up. Go check this out. Look it up for yourself and see. And as people do this and the word starts to speak to people, this is where things can start to come about and glean. So, when Yahweh stops listening, okay, and that's kind of a negative teaching here, but that's kind of what I'm going to be going over here as we do this. We're going to be called for certain things, and they're all through history. Nations have fallen. Nations have risen. Nations have fallen. And what we find out is that nations that do not follow Yahweh's commandments, Yahweh stops listening to them. Now, it takes a while. Okay, it takes a while. But there can be righteous people in amongst that that carried away. There were righteous people who got carried away. Okay, but as a nation, they were a wicked and evil nation. Doesn't mean that all the people were. But this is what can take place. And when does Yahweh call for it? When does he say? We don't really know. But to eradicate the wickedness is the big thing. So, let's start here in 1 Kings. Somebody call out a page once you get to it. Wrong direction. Here we go. 1 Kings 22. Don't let me be the first one.
378?
452.
Okay, 22, 11 through 23. So, here we are. Starting in verse 11 of chapter 22. Okay? When Zedekiah, son of... whatever. Thank you. Made himself horns of iron and said, "This saith Yahweh." Okay, let's paint a little picture here. We're with Ahab here. We're talking basically getting ready to go to war and wanting to know whether or not we can do this, whether we go to war. Okay, so when Zedekiah, son of whoever, made himself horns of iron and said, "Thus saith Yahweh, with these shalt thou push down the Syrians until thou hast consumed..." until thou hast consumed them, and all the prophets were being moved to prophesy in like manner, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead, and thou shalt prosper, and Yahweh will deliver it into the hand of the king." Now the messenger who went to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, "Behold, I pray thee, the words of the prophets with one mouth are good as touching the kings. Let thy word, I pray thee, be as the word of one with them, so wilt thou speak that which is good." This is interesting because this is a preface. This is a preface. Hey, before you go giving me a prophesy, here's what I need. And here's what I don't need. Okay? And so you basically put this, all the rest of the prophets are in agreement. You're not going to be that one guy, are you? Okay? And it's that is how unfair that is to put this onto a person who's going into this. It just elevates the need for even more faith and to be able to stand boldly because basically he's told, hey, look, we're all in agreement here. So don't be that one guy. In verse 13, "Now the messenger who went to Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, I pray thee, the words of the prophets with one mouth..." I'm sorry, I just read that. In 14, "And Micaiah said, By the life of Yahweh, what Yahweh saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came unto the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he said unto him, Go up and prosper, and Yahweh will deliver it in the hand of the king." I want to read that with just dripping sarcasm. Okay? Because that's what this is. That's exactly what this is. You know, it's no different than a kid throwing a fit on the floor until he gets something. "Oh, did you want this? Now you got my attention." Okay, this is the same thing. And so, yeah, what do you want to hear? "Go up and prosper, and Yahweh will deliver it in the hand of the king." And the king said unto him, obviously the king decipher this, knowing, wait a minute, that was too easy coming from this guy. And the king said unto him, how many times must I adjure thee that thou speak unto me nothing but truth in the name of Yahweh? And he said, I saw. So in other words, he goes, you've always spoke truth to me about Yahweh, and now you're telling me what I want to hear. Something's wrong. So he picks this up. So in verse 17, and he said, I saw all Israel scattered among the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd. So Yahweh said, these have no masters. Let them return every man into his own house in peace. Then said the king of Israel unto Jehoshaphat, did I not say unto thee, he will not be moved to prophesy concerning me anything good, only calamity? Then said he, therefore hear thou the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And Yahweh said, I will persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead. And one said in this manner, and another said in this manner. Then came forth a spirit and stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. Wow. Okay. And Yahweh said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and become a spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all his prophets. So he said, thou mayest persuade, yea, and prevail. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, lo, Yahweh had suffered a spirit of falsehood to be put in the mouth of all these thy prophets. But Yahweh himself has spoken concerning these calamity. Okay, this is it. This is the truth. And so when we're looking at this, this is the phrase in here. This is what matters. I will speak that which is what Yahweh says. Not what you want to hear, not what you're expecting to see or anything else. And so that's why Ahab wasn't very favorable of this prophet, because he told him the truth. And he didn't like the truth. Okay, which puts him into a selective hearing group. Okay, who's been there? Okay, Donna? I've never been there, have I? She's not going to answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought so. You have come seeking counsel of Yahweh, but were afraid of what the answer may be. More pleasant to have someone say something nice about you than for them to give you the truth. And that's what this is. And so when we're doing this, this happens to everybody. If you're wanting to hear something, I'm just going to go, this person normally gives me what I want to hear. And so it happens. It absolutely, people will do this. And so when you're wanting some good information, probably be a good idea to go to somebody who tells you what you don't want to hear. Yeah. Hey, don't even tell them what I'm asking about. Just tell them, I'm asking for words, just let me know. Okay? And just go with that. Don't selectively put yourself like Ahab does, to where you're waiting to, hey, 400 prophets. And one guy told me not to do this. Okay? Well, alright, you picked which one you wanted to. The hundreds of prophets were all in agreement. These were the yes man. But Jehoshaphat did see through this a little bit and asked if there was any who would give truthful word of Yahweh. Okay, standing alone in faith to Yahweh, remember this. Okay? You may be the one of the 400 prophets. You've got Yahweh on your side. You are the majority. I don't care how many millions or billions there are. You are the majority. It's like that thing that, you know, the household vote, okay? And everybody, you know, mom and two kids vote against dad. Dad goes, yeah, but my vote counts for five. That's Yahweh, okay? Yeah. It counts for everything. Your vote does not count when it comes against that. So this is where we come down to, which yoke do you choose? Well, I'm not going to choose any yoke. I'm a free person. I'm a free spirit. I'll do whatever I want. You're going to wear one or the other yoke, okay? And it's your decision if you want to wear the yoke of righteousness that Yahweh and Christ offer, or if you want to be yoked involuntary by your unrighteousness and wickedness. One way or another, we're yoked. And so when people think about that, it's kind of a tough thing to put yourself like, I'm not going to be a servant, I'm not going to be a slave. That's what that is, okay? Yep, it is. You're exactly right. And to be yoked to righteousness is freedom. It's absolute freedom with all the blessings that come with it. Okay, as they push from the yoke of obedience, Yahweh laid on the yoke of oppression. Okay, and remember the thing I did of the clock, where at midnight or noon, Everything's in perfect harmony. You are living righteous. You're with Yahweh. And by 3 o'clock, you've been prosperous. You've been living good. Everything's been going great. Yahweh's blessed you. And as you're becoming self-reliant on yourself and all your own successes, Yahweh starts being dropped off by you. And by 6 o'clock, you're fully reliant upon yourself. You don't even need Yahweh anymore. And then the bad starts stuff happening. By 9 o'clock, you're in complete depravity. Everything's ruined. And the last thing you have is to fall down on your knees and repent. And then it all starts over again. It all starts over again. And so it's a cycle you see over and over again. And the whole thing is to break that cycle, to know, okay, when we get to 3 and between 3 o'clock, when everything, there's nirvana. We are living, we've been blessed. We've been, things have been going great. And we are maintaining this. We're going to break the clock right there. Okay? As Yahweh, as they made their hearts hard as Adam and, okay? What is that, adamant? Adamant's better, it's easier to say. Yahweh break their hard hearts with judgments. That is for flint, okay? That word is for flint. So it's a hard rock, but can also be very sharpened and very, very cutty, if you will. But it's their hearts with judgment. Hard hearts must expect hard treatment. The harder the stone, the harder the blow of the hammer to break it. And that all came from the commentary. I love some of the commentary that they have. Some of it's really wrong. Some of it is excellent because it gives you great matches for scriptures back and forth. And it just opens up as you start studying. It's, as I do my word study and go through the scriptures every day, I'm finding it's taking me more and more time to go through a chapter. Because there's so many things that I'm jumping back and forth between, and I'm like going, I'm reading way more than a chapter, but I'm only knocking off a chapter here and then a chapter there, but I'm reading probably 5 or 6 chapters in the meantime, going cross-referencing. It's wonderful. I'm like going, golly, it enlightens all these things back and forth to each other. So let's flip over to Zechariah 7. Can somebody call out a page once you get there?
Zechariah Malachi.
Zechariah. Okay, we're going to be on
page 905.
Thank you. Page 905. Who would like to read? Do some reading for me. 8 through 14.
I'll do it. And the word of Yahweh came unto Zechariah, saying, "Thus spake Yahweh of hosts, saying, with true justice give you judgment, and Hesed and Rahab observe you one with another. And the widow and the fatherless, the sojourner and the humble, do not ye oppress, and wickedness between one man and another do not ye devise in your hearts. Howbeit they refuse to give heed, but put forth a rebellious shoulder, and their ears made their hard of hearing, that they might not hear, and their hearts turned they into adamant, that they might not hear the law, nor the words which Yahweh of hosts sent by his Spirit to the former prophets. And so there came great wrath from Yahweh of hosts. Therefore came it to be passed that just as he cried out, and they hearkened not, so used they to cry out, and I used not to hearken, said Yahweh of hosts. But I whirled them over all the nations whom they had not known, and the land was made desolate after them, that none passed through and returned. Yea, they made of a delightful land a desolation."
And that's it. And so one of the things that's a word that we don't use very much anymore is hearkened, or hearken. Okay, and it has like a, almost like a dual meaning, to hear and obey through a process. The obeying means that you're actually doing it. It's energy. It's like a verb. You are acting it. You are not just obeying. You are obediently acting out the obeying. Okay? And to hear it. You heard the word and you obey. And that's hearken. And so we don't really use that word. And it was funny because as I was going through this, I remember one of the first scriptures that I was made to memorize when I was a kid was Samuel there was...
Better to hearken than...
Yeah, better... Sacrifice. Yeah, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And I memorized, and I didn't even know what it meant. I could spit it out. It wasn't until years later when all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I just got the meaning of that. And yeah, it is. So yeah, I can do all this stuff, no problem. We'll just, you know, throw some meat on the fire, do a little repentance, we're all good to go. And Yahweh say, no, I want you to hearken. I want you to obey. Obeying is better than the other stuff, okay? And so yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So that's it. That's exactly what we're talking about. So in here, what it says, Yahweh cried. Okay, through his prophets. Why did he cry? Because he cared for these people. Okay, these were his people. He cried for them. When the silencing comes and you don't hear from Yahweh, you know, that's like when you're going through a bad breakup. Okay, they're not taking my calls anymore. They don't care. We're done with you. Okay, bye-bye. And that's where you don't ever want to get with Yahweh, where we're like, okay, what's the silence for? They cried, the people, in their calamities. Okay, let's flip over to Proverbs 1.
Proverbs saying Yahweh might ghost us.
Yeah, ghost him. That's right. That's right.
Straight to voicemail.
When it was that scripture, one of those teachings I did a while back ago, how the people would become hungry for the word and he would withhold it. And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, could you imagine somebody telling you that yeah, you'll be hungry for the word and I'm going to withhold it from you. And you're just like going, but I'm hungry for it. No, it's convenience, okay? Yahweh knows your heart. If you're repentive and you're coming before him, things will change. I mean, look at Nineveh, for crying out loud,
yeah.
Okay? So yeah, it will change, but you just got to know your heart. It's the heart matter of that. Not just, again, you know, throw some fat in the fire and there's our repentance there. Okay, so 23 through 31 of chapter 1, and I'll go ahead and read this one. Actually, will somebody else read this for me?
No,
23 through 31, please.
Will ye turn at my reproof? Lo, I will pour out to you my ruah, and I will make known my words to you, because I called and ye refused. I stretched out my hand and no one regarded, but ye dismissed all my counsel. To my rebuke would not yield. I also at your calamity will laugh. I will mock when cometh your dread, when cometh as a crashing your dread, and your calamity as a storm wind overtaketh. When there come upon you distress and anguish, then will they call me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but shall not find me, because they hated knowledge, and the reverence of Yahweh did not choose.
That's it.
Through 31?
Yeah, all the way through 31.
Consented not to my counsel, disdained all my rebuke. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and with their own counsels be filled.
That's it. And so that's the whole thing. When people think of Yahweh and they picture, if you reject Yahweh and you don't hearken to all these things, he'll laugh at you in your calamity. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, that sounds so horrible. I'm like, when Yahweh's been trying to get you corrected and do things for you, and you have rejected it over and over and over again. It's happened multiple times, and this is where it comes down to, and this is the silencing of it. And so, as a nation, as I do this teaching, it's individual for a person, or for a family, and for a city, as a state, as a nation, okay, that we all fall into this. Remember, in Amos, I think it was in Amos, the one teaching I did, that he had to go out and counsel all the nations around him because of their wickedness. It was causing problems with them. And so it wasn't just their own wickedness, it was the wickedness of their neighbors that was causing some problems. And so we have to think of it as individuals, as a unit, a small group unit, family unit, as a city, as a state, as a country, that we're all held to these things. Now we do, we stand with it. Yahweh sees our heart, knows where we are, and there's many people in the United States that are that way. So I'm like going, excellent. But there's a large group, I think about that with California. You know, when I was a kid, I was fascinated with earthquakes. I was fascinated. I don't know why, but as a kid, you know, dinosaurs didn't really do anything to me, but earthquakes were just something about the ground shaking and just bringing things down. It was just incredible to me. And they forecasted the San Andreas Fault, that 1/7 of the United States population would be living in the west side of that when it went. They just had a report out the other day that said that 1/8 of the United States lives on the other side of that.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like going, oh boy. Yes, and guess what? Guess what's all going on there? I mean, it's become Sodom and Gomorrah in a lot of these places. And so I look at that and I'm like going, yeah, you know what? If something happens to you, well, guess what? You've been warned. There's lots of people. You know, Christians need to take heed of that to live there too. And there may be a time where like going, guess what? Pack up the U-Hauls. Bye-bye. We're out. okay, and to be listening and to be less watching for that. So a couple scriptures here for sake of time I put in here. Even when you spread forth in your open palms, I hide my eyes from you. So you think about that. Somebody's falling down, crying down before Yahweh. I hide my eyes from you. Yea, though you multiply prayers, I am not hearkening. Your hands with deeds of bloods are filled. Again, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Not just because, you know, it's the same way that, you know, somebody who's never had any relationship with Yahweh and then something major, drastic happens to them and now they're pouring out themselves. Here's my 5 minutes. Anything? Okay? It's not like that. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. And Yahweh's calling for those people too. Then shall they make outcry unto Yahweh, but he will not answer them, that he may hide his face from them at that time, even as they have made wicked their doings. Thus saith Yahweh concerning the prophets, who are leading astray my people, who bite with their teeth and then cry prosper. The word for that prosper is peace. Okay, so the resemblance of that is they bite with their teeth, they are gnashing, vicious animal, and then peace. Why not peace? That's what we're referring to here. And whoso holdeth not to their mouth, they hollow against him a war. Okay, and what are we talking about here? Okay, what's the whole purpose of this right here? We're talking about prophets. Prophets who have done this, or so-called prophets. There were 400 that Micaiah went up against. Okay, 400. Yes, they were all false prophets. None of them were hearing from Yahweh. They were, as a group, here's what we need to say. Here's what he wants to say. Everybody agree? Okay, let's go in. Okay, and that's exactly what we're referring to. We have that now. We have that today. You have people who are very obvious they're going to be false prophets, and then there are going to be some other people who are going to, wow. That's really bad what they're saying. You know, but they've got a big following or something. And so again, with that, when we're looking at that, this is to call for us as well. Again, individual, family, state, country, as a whole group, each person from the smallest element up. What happens to a nation that rejects Yahweh? Let's flip over to Amos. Again, somebody call out a page once you get there.
Maybe 875.
Thank you. Okay, if somebody would read this for me, chapter 5, verses 21 through 27, please.
I hate, I despise your festivals, and consent no fragrance in your solemn feasts. Nay, though ye cause to ascend unto me ascending sacrifices and your meal offerings, I will not accept them. Nor the peace offering of your fat heifers will I regard. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, even the melody of thy harps will I not hear. But let justice roll along like water, and righteousness as a torrent ever flowing. The sacrifices and meal offerings ye brought near unto me in the desert for 40 years, O house of Israel, but ye carried the tent of your king idol and your Saturn images, the star of your gods which ye made for yourselves. Therefore will I carry you into exile beyond Damascus, saith Yahweh God. Elohim of hosts is his name.
That's it. And so again, the whole thing is that when we're looking at this, is the division. We're looking at division. Yahweh jealous. Yahweh does not share himself as of our gods. And so when people are taking on, you know, all the other things that are their idols, that the Yahweh despises that. And you see that through the whole Old Testament, how bad that is, that people are bowing down things, they're worshiping things, they're holding power into things that they carved out or made with their own hands. You know, here's Yahweh who has been there, has spoke to them. They've heard the stories from all the ancestors, and yet at the same time, they'd rather carry around something and yet do both. Okay, I'm going to have this and Yahweh. And Yahweh's like, oh no, choose you this day. Choose you this day. This idol or me. But you're not going to have both. And if you choose both, you chose that one, okay, and not me, and that's what he's referring to here. And so that's where, when we're doing it, it was funny, because years ago we were listening to that, I think it was John Shane who did a teaching about that, about the idolatry. And I'm like going, I don't have any idols. And then I started, as he went through the teaching, I started thinking about it, I'm like going, you know, I've got a hat I always wear when we go fishing out on the boat. and I don't want to leave without it because it's my lucky fishing hat. You know, it was really comfortable. It had squid stain on it from when I caught a squid and grabbed it, and it shot me right across the face. And I'm like going, I gotta have that to go fishing. And as he started talking about that, it started to open up. I'm like going, holy cow, what am I giving, you know, little teeny things the power? You know, we used to get rabbit's feet, you know, the colored rabbit's feet when we were kids. You know, and you're like going, oh, or a lucky rock or a lucky coin and all these things. And I'm like going, I never even considered that. Oh, I never even considered that. It's tiny. And it just, this is where things come into. And you're always like going, yeah, all that stuff is just garbage. None of that. You know, pray to it. Let's see what it can do for you. Here, I'll wait. Okay. Go ahead. Let's see what it can do for you. And you're like going, but I need it because bad things will happen. You know, I better not read my astronomy today or my whatever, the astrological stuff. Because it told me that I might find somebody interesting today. I'm like, I'm going to stay inside then. But you know, it's all those things and those little things, and Yahweh's calling you out on that, okay? Purge yourself, get rid of it, okay? Yes, you have righteousness in there, but get rid of the other things that hinder you, that pull you back. Okay, these things might be slowing you down, or might be stopping some of the things that I promised you, for crying out loud. Purge, 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 get rid of it. Refine, continually refine. Result of rejecting Yahweh's message. 2 Chronicles.
It's a great picture.
Yeah, I love that. It's mom pushing the baby out in the water. 36, chapter 36. Okay, going to be on page 468. And if somebody would help me here with this, 14 through 17 of chapter 36.
Sure, I will.
Thank you.
Also, all the rulers of the priests and of the people, abounding in committing treachery according to all the abominable ways of the nations, and polluted the house of Yahweh, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem, and the Yahweh Elohim of their fathers sent unto them through his messengers, zealously sending them, because he had compassion upon his people, upon its habitation. Yet became they mockers of his messengers of Elohim, and despisers of his word, and mimics of his prophets, until the mounting up the wrath of Yahweh against his people, until there was no healing. So he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon their young man or virgin, elder or ancient, and delivered he into his hand. And all the utensils of the house of Elohim brought, both great and small, and the treasure of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king and of his rulers, the whole carried he into Babylon.
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. And so when we're looking at this, it's preparation. You know, it's no way, you know, when you're teaching your kids as they're young, don't come around the stove when the stove's on, if there's hot stuff on it. You know, and well, we can do it very delicately. You don't want to do it, okay? Or you can be like, hey, here's what will happen if this takes place. And so there's times, there's different things for it. So one of my aunts tried to stop me from spanking Ryan one time when he ran across the street without looking. And he was young. And she tried to get in between me because she thought spanking kids was horrible. And I told her, I said, get out of my way or you're going to get the first spanking. And then I'm going to be very agitated and he's probably going to get a worse spanking. So you're making this harder on him. But it's not a time that I could talk to him and reason with him. Because Ryan's all over the place. This was something he could understand. Yahweh will get to that point with us if we have not hearkened to that point. Okay? So it doesn't just, all the calamities just fall down all upon you all at once. This is over a period. It's over a period of all the stuff collecting and collecting and collecting. Okay? And so when those things start coming in, those are hints or those are things sent that, hey, look, I better check things just to make sure everything's good, everything's fine. Anything Yahweh enlightened, if there's something that's going on, let me know. I need to purge things. Let them be purged. All these things need to take place. All of them need to happen. But this is where we're at. And if they didn't, they never changed. Now, Yahweh preserved the line by putting them into bondage. Okay? It still was a saving. It was the last thing. It was like the, okay, what are my options? That was the last option. Okay? Okay, well, this is what they chose. Here you go. This is the option you get. I'm still going to preserve things, but you are going to pay for this, and this is how it's going to be. And so all the whole thing up to this, and what this is for, is to prevent to prevent those hardships, to prevent the calamities and the things that we bring upon ourselves by being in unrighteousness. And as a nation, to hold up each other, to hold up our government, to hold up everybody to be in righteousness' sake. Jeremiah and the deaf ears. Okay, flip over to Jeremiah here real quick.
Sounds like a band.
What's that?
Sounds like a band name.
Yeah.
What chapter?
Let's start off here with this one. We're gonna run through a few of them here. Jeremiah, poor old Jeremiah. Okay, he had some tough times. Okay, and a man crying out pretty much on his own. And, you know, here I think to myself, yeah, he was very instrumental in a lot of things, and yet was carried away. Okay? But he cried out to make those changes. And so I think to myself, you know, what if he would have known the outcome, if Jeremiah would have known? Why bother? Seriously, why bother? Okay? And Yahweh, he would have paid a price to Yahweh for disobedience. Yahweh told him to speak. They didn't heed. They didn't hearken. But Yahweh told them to speak over and over and over and over again. He gave them opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. Expect the same for us. But when those come in, if we turn them away too many times, Yahweh's going to be like going, all right, I got a few more left for you. But get this, heed this, hear what I'm saying to you. And so it's going to come through other people. It's going to come through a word. And, you know, even Yahweh may deliver it to you personally. You may get it from somebody else coming to you. But this is what Jeremiah's call was. Okay, chapter 6, verse 10. Unto whom can I speak and bear witness that they may hear? Lo, uncircumcised is their ear that they cannot attend. Lo, the word of Yahweh hath become to them a reproach. They take no delight therein. Okay, next one. Flip over to verse 19. Somebody, let's go around and somebody just start in order to start reading these if they would. Verse 19.
Hear thou, O earth. Lo, I am bringing in calamity against this people, the fruit of their own devices. For unto my words have they not given heed, and as for my law, they have rejected
it. That's it. Just flip over to chapter 12, a couple pages over. Chapter 12, verse 17, somebody else, if they would.
But if they will not hearken, then will I uproot that nation, uproot that I will destroy, declares Yahweh.
That's it. Okay, next one, 13:10.
The wicked people who are refusing to hear my words, who are walking in the stubbornness of their heart, and have gone after other Elohims to serve them and to bow down to them, yea, let them be like this girdle, which is good for nothing.
That always makes me laugh. A waistband or something to cinch up. Okay, 17:23.
Howbeit they hearken not, neither incline their ear, but stiffen their neck that they might not hearken, neither receive correction.
That's it. That's it. Just over and over and over again. 22:5.
But if you will not hear these words, by myself have I sworn, declareth Yahweh, that a root shall this house become.
That's it. So it's one after another. 25. I'll read this one here. 25:4-11. Okay, in verse 4. And Yahweh sent unto you his servants the prophets, betimes sending, thou ye hearken not, neither incline ye to your ear to hear, saying, return, I pray thee, for every one from his wicked way and from his wickedness of your doings. So shall you remain on the soil which Yahweh hath given to you and to your fathers, even from your age to age. But do not go away after other Elohims to serve them, and do not bow down to them. So shall ye not provoke me to anger with the work of your hands, and I will not bring calamity unto you. Howbeit ye hearken not unto me, declareth Yahweh, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands unto your own hurt. Let's go 29:19-21, if somebody would. 29:19-21.
Because they hearken not unto my words, declareth Yahweh, which I send unto them by my servants the prophets betimes, sending them yet, and hearken they not, declareth Yahweh. How far?
To 21.
Ye therefore hear ye the word of Yahweh, all ye of the captivity whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, concerning Ahab son of Kaliah, and concerning Zedekiah son of Messiah, who are prophesying to you in my name a falsehood. Behold me delivering them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will smite them before your eyes.
32:33. Hard to read those writings on there.
Thus have they turned unto me the back and not the face, though I instructed them betimes instructing them. Yet have they not been hearkening to receive correction.
That's it. Last one. 43:20-21.
It can't be. Verse 13.
43?
Yes, about 44 maybe.
Yeah, 44.
Hang on, maybe it is. Okay, well we'll just stop there. I must have wrote the wrong one on there. Okay, you see the point. Okay, we see a whole series of the exact same thing over and over again, and so I think as our age and as our children, that this is something that they're going to be called into, to be standing out and to be manifesting and speaking against it when they are the little one going against a mass, and to be prepared for it. Here's what's going to happen. Here's how it's going to work. Yahweh's on your side. You're the majority. Maybe you and Yahweh, you are the majority. And to be prepared for this, that this is, we're going to be called to do these things and to speak out, and here's what we do. Let's, I think this is the last one. Let's go to Psalms 32, and I'll read this here, 32:8-11, page 543, 32:8, I will make thee discreet, okay, and you see there, I put that in there, instruct and teach, because the discreet that we use it does not match over to what is referring to here. Yahweh in the, if you look up the concordance, it's instruct and teach is what that word is, okay, to be discreet. Instruct and teach, verse 8 again, and I will make thee discreet, I will point out thy way, I will point to thee the way which thou must go, I will fix upon thee mine eyes, do not become like the horse, like a mule without discernment, with the bit and bridle in its mouth hast thou to restrain him. He will not overcome near unto thee. How many pains hath the lawless one, but he that trusteth in Yahweh, hased shall compass him about. Rejoice in Yahweh and exalt, O ye righteous. Ye shout in triumph, all ye upright in heart. Okay? Yahweh's searching for justice and righteousness. And in the previous verses, he wanted overflowing, like a river overflowing. That's what he wants. Okay? And so when we see those things, it's our job to call them out and to be ready and to also be correcting ourselves. Because the adversary, trust me, I could see the adversary working against Jeremiah. Silence him and silence, the prophets, they're speaking the word of Yahweh, and then you got all these other false prophets that, hey, we got control of this. And so Yahweh's going to be calling us, and he's going to call us, call our children to do these things as well. Which yoke do you choose? Okay, and I love that on that last scripture. That's why I found a picture of a donkey. Look surprised. Yeah. Yahweh's saying, okay, choose my yoke of righteousness, and I'll bless you. Or let the yoke be the bit and the bridle that I put in your mouth. And that's exactly what he did when he uprooted them and moved them, exiled them out. Okay? That's the bit and the bridle. You're gonna wear a yoke one way or another, and Yahweh's calling you, look, do it my way. Your way doesn't work. Okay? And the history has shown that it doesn't work. Okay. So, I'm gonna close with a word. Yahweh, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the message that you give to us. I thank you for the words that you put in our mouth, into our hearts, that we stand up and speak these things freely, that we go out into a dark world and show us, Yahweh, where to be shining and chase away the things. And let us, in our own lives, let us refine ourselves and show us in our lives where we need to purge and where we need to bring about change. And we thank you for this, that we come before you, Yahweh, to repent and to go in a different direction. So we thank you for those. We thank you for the words that you give to each single one of us, and all these in your Son's name, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Stand forth and bring about what I have called upon you. Do not let the fog hinder you. Do not let these things burden you down. For as a ship will be lost at sea in the fog, so I have given them radar. So I have given them noises, the soundings. These things also will I do for you, that you may not get these through vision, but I will give these to you through different sight, that you may be able to navigate and circumference my tasks and my jobs that I have created for you, and that as you are walking in righteousness, there is nothing that will stand between these and any hindrance, so we will push these out of the way, that you may continue and succeed and complete the tasks. Amen. Amen. All right, and lastly,
happy birthday!
Birthday spanking! 16!
Didn't turn your phone back on, was
it? Hang on a second here. I don't know why this does this. It always removes the last one. Okay, so I had a slide for you. Okay, but if for some reason the last slide, it always pulls it off there. How's that? I love that picture. Do you guys remember? That's when you hopped over the wall.
Yeah.
We met you up there, didn't we?
Uh-huh. Yep.
You were
up there as well.
You had a family.
My mom and Brad and Don and I were up there.
Was it a coincidence we met? You saw it at the same time?
We knew you guys were up there in Estes Park, but we didn't know you were going to be up there. So just that was fair. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's sing.
Thanks for the glory of your revival, Yeshayahu.
Yeah, my phone wasn't working.